Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. My name is Al Gordon, proudly sitting in for Del again. And what we're going to do today is we're going to do an edition of Tell Del Tuesday. Yeah, you heard me correctly. I've got a guest today, and you've heard this guest before. This guest, his name is Ron, and I will tell you, this guy has it going on. This guy's got it all figured out when it comes to retirement. He has retired himself not once, not twice, not three times, but about four different times. So stand by while we bring Ron onto the show. Ron, good morning. How are you doing today? Are you there?
I'm great. Thank you very much, Al. I really appreciate talking to you again, and it's great to be here. I joined Lifestyles because I have this pile of money, and I could just see it kind of slowly dwindling over time, and saw that it looked like the investments in particularly the apartment buildings were going to be a great investment going forward because we could continue to grow the capital while we were living on the cash flow. And that's worked out great, and it's done just exactly what we've had since we began in 2017.
So you initially got to a point in your life where you retired off of that bag of money. What did it feel like to be able to step away from what you were doing and to at least experience some type of retirement?
Well, it's great to retire. It works out terrific for a while, but pretty soon you become, at least I became, kind of bored. I could only play so much golf and go to the gym so often and do stuff, and pretty soon I'm starting to look for something. That's why I retired so many different times, is I just couldn't just sit around and do nothing.
But each time you retired, it was the same problem. It was that bag of money, right? I mean, what's wrong with having that big bag of money?
Well, the big bag of money was okay, but it looked like it was just going to dwindle down. You know, if you took out a certain percentage, typically in when they recommend taking money, for example, out of a 401k, most of the old rules were that you would take 4% a year. Well, that's not necessarily very much, depending on how much you have, or it could be quite a bit if you have a big bag of money. But I could just see that was just going to slowly dwindle over time because of the investments weren't going to necessarily be growing fast enough to recover the pile of money.
Do you know how long you're going to live?
No, I'm not sure. I'm hoping to live as long as my dad and my grandfather, which they both lived to be 94. So
wow,
hopefully that'll give me a few more years, but we'll see how that goes.
That's a pretty good result that they receive. So, I mean, if you're going to live until your 90s, I guess one of the concerns about living off a bag of money is that bag of money might dissipate. It might run out. And then what do you do, right?
That's exactly right.
So how does investing in apartments differ from what you used to do?
Well, back in the 90s, my wife and I invested in the stock market, and we did quite well. I really kind of a trained ape could have done well in those years back when they they talked about the dot-com, but really what it was the Y2K, the change out of all of the computers and tech stuff. All was forced everybody to change everything, and so all of the tech market took off for that basically 5 years from 95 to 2000, and we did very well during that time. That was not to be replicated in future years after 2000.
Yeah, especially when you get to the year 2008, right?
That's correct. After the 2000, the market took a dive, so we lost quite a bit of money there. It did it again in 2008, and so we could see that this was probably not going to be able to be sustainable.
Yeah, because one of the biggest problems that I had, and maybe you had the same problem, was that I had no control over that stock market. I could put my money into it, and it was like a washing machine. You know, I could just watch it kind of swirl around, but I had no control over what the money was doing. I had no control over the actual investment. Heck, I didn't even understand the companies that I was invested in. Were you in the same boat?
Not exactly. Actually, it worked quite well back in the 90s. I was investing in high-tech companies, and I pretty much was not buying mutual funds. I was buying stocks. So I controlled when the stocks were bought and sold, and so I didn't have to go ahead and have money taken up by the mutual fund company when they decided to change funds, and all of a sudden you would get a taxable event when you didn't do anything, just leave your money in the mutual fund, which I never did like. And then we shifted over to that model with the mutual funds after 2001, and then it's exactly like you said, Al. It was like a washing machine. You have no control over what happened at that point in time.
Yeah, I remember when 2008 hit, and we were hammered. We were investing in the stock market like you used to do. We were doing the mutual fund thing because I just didn't have the time to manage any of the investments because I was in the United States Army and they expected all of my time to be devoted to them. I watched a lot of my friends who had 401ks watch their 401ks turn into like 201ks. Did you have that happen to you?
Yes, that happened exactly.
What does that feel like just watch everything that you're counting on just evaporate?
Oh, it's a sinking feeling. And in fact, that was one of the main reasons I was looking for some type of investment like Lifestyles Unlimited and investing in apartments or single-family homes, because it looked like it was a much more stable, much less risky than that investment in the stock market.
When you became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, you went to the 2-day Financial Freedom Seminar. That's the course that all of us go to. But you were very careful to point out that you brought your wife with you. Why bring your wife to something like the 2-day Financial Freedom Seminar?
That was very important. First of all, my memory isn't that great. So she would have 14,000 questions for me after, and I would only be able to answer about 2,000 of those questions. So it's much better that she heard it directly right from the horse. I have this investment history and some other deals going back that I would say were just a little questionable. And so because of my previous track record, she was probably a little skeptical to start with. So and she's skeptical just in general also. So that's why we had to bring her along.
Man, I'm picturing the two of you sitting in the seminar room. I'm picturing Ron with his notebook and his pencil ready to go, and I'm picturing Mrs. Ron with her arms crossed, kind of her legs crossed, tapping her foot, not real happy to be there. Am I picturing what it was like for you guys when the 2-day Financial Freedom Seminar kicked off?
You have it pretty accurately described.
you know why I know that so well?
You probably have the same situation.
I totally had the same situation. I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm going, Ron, your life is my life. I mean, we had exactly the same experience going into the Financial Freedom Seminar. So tell me, what exactly did you guys learn that caused Mrs. Ron not to be so upset with you?
Actually, in going through the seminar, we covered the first day was the single family, and that sounded very intriguing. And then when we got to the multifamily, that was really looked terrific, and that's where we wanted to go. Since we did have the pile of money, we could kind of get started on the multifamily to start with and not go forward with single family also. And then, the thing that we really liked in the whole thing was the part we hadn't really knew about was the forced depreciation that you can do with doing apartments, where by making improvements and just increasing the rent, you can increase the value of the property directly by doing that. And that was just kind of a really big deal for us to find out about that. So it just looked very attractive to go ahead and become a multifamily investor.
So did your wife, did she finally acquiesce and decide that this was a good way to go, or did she proceed with caution?
Oh, no. Believe it or not, at the end of the seminar, we actually signed up for the to become members at that point in time. So, yet that same day on that Sunday, we actually signed up. So she was convinced that was going to be a good deal, and so she's been very happy with that decision since then.
So you guys upgraded your membership. You became preferred investor group members on the spot at a 2-day financial freedom seminar.
That's correct.
I think it's an amazing result from somebody that went into that seminar with a closed mind.
Yeah, well, the seminar was actually that good. So I just want to congratulate the Lifestyles people and the trainer and everybody else that presented all of the facts. She's very logical, so it made sense to her, and so we moved ahead.
So you set your sights on multifamily investment. You guys said single family is pretty cool, but we're not going to do that. We're going to do multifamily. And now that you're part of the preferred investor group, you actually are in a closed environment, according to the Security and Exchange Commission, where you can actually transact properties with your fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members. What did that feel like?
Well, that was one of the things that I was really impressed with, is the fact that because of the fact it was a closed organization, you were dealing with other people that were just like you, except rather than being a passive investor like I am, you could deal with the active investors or the leads that had put together the deals, and we could go ahead and invest in those. So what was very impressive was you had access to all of those deals by joining the group that you would not have if you were outside of the group. And from our experience with other investments since that time, we have found that the deals on the passive investments are actually a better spread on the money between the way that the lead gets 20% typically in the deal and the passive investor share 80. Most other deals you'll see, it's a 30-70 split, so it's actually much more attractive purchasing deals through the Lifestyles organization.
Yeah, because one of the things that Dell put into motion was the concept that the passive investors, i.e. the type of investing that you and I both do, we need to be protected, because if you invest outside of the Lifestyles Unlimited community, all of the profits are stripped out by the syndicators, or we would call those people lead investors within Lifestyles Unlimited, and we'd be left with the crumbs. And we don't want the crumbs. I mean, we're doing this to change the velocity of our life. So I'll tell you what, when we come back from the break, we're going to get into some of the deals that Ron has invested in. Stick around.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Tired of living the life of quiet desperation? Want to retire but can't save fast enough? Let Del Wamsley and the team at Lifestyles Unlimited show you how.
I'm here to tell you, you got to take action now. You got 1 year, and at the end of 1 year, it's going to be just as crazy as it was.
Change your roadmap. Change your life.
So unlike when you go to retire and you think you have a pile of money and you're going to live off that pile of money, and your goal becomes die before you run out of money, right?
Use real estate to create passive income.
Our goal here is just go out there and create the income stream. We don't care how big the pile is. That's irrelevant to us. Create the income stream we can live on, and then every year continue to build that wealth.
Build wealth.
You should be able to increase your income every year for the rest of your life. I have since I was 34 years old.
Get educated now at Lifestyle Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for $297, a 60% savings off the regular price. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. My name is Al Gordon. I am proudly sitting in for Del Wamsley, and today is another edition of Tell Del Tuesday, and I have Ron on the show with me, and I will tell you this, you're going to learn a lot from Ron, because Ron has been a Lifestyles Unlimited member for quite a while, since 2017. He joined about the same time that I did. You've owned up to 30 different multifamily apartment communities, but you currently don't own all 30. You've liquidated 8 of those. Why did you liquidate 8 of those properties?
Typically in the property, the lead investor has control. The passive investors get the chance to vote on whether or not it's time to go ahead and sell the property if we got to continue to keep operating. And in those 8 particular cases, all of the members, when given the opportunity, voted that yes, we ought to go ahead and sell at this point in time. And that's exactly what we did, and basically divested those properties.
So it was the natural lifespan of those particular properties. I mean, they were purchased. They had a specific intent. You accomplished the specific intent, and then it was just time to liquidate?
That's pretty much exactly right.
So what did those properties do for you? I mean, they're obviously no longer in your portfolio, so they're not helping your retirement, but what did they do while they were in your portfolio?
Well, there was one section we sold, I think 5 of them, kind of 2 years ago. During that year, I remember on my taxes, I had capital gains of about $750,000 on those properties, and I did not pay any tax that year at all. So I was very pleased with that activity. And that's from the carryover depreciation and the fact that you keep reinvesting the capital in other projects where you've got more accelerated depreciation that allows you to do that. So once again, that was a very nice surprise that we sold those properties and paid no taxes that year.
Well, I'm looking at the list that you sent me of the properties, and I'm pretty amazed at this list. I mean, collectively, they were producing like 19% cash-on-cash return for you. It looks like they more than doubled your money. In other words, you put money into the investment, the money that you put into the investment came back to you, and then you received a lot more money in the form of doubling your money. Am I reading your spreadsheet correctly?
That is correct. The actual capital more than doubled, and we still had all of the other cash flow that we lived on, which were the earnings each month that were paid out quarterly to the properties.
Now, you still have 22 assets in your portfolio. Are these returning the same type of return as those that you liquidated, or are they doing something different?
Some of them are close to doing the same. The difference on the properties is if some of the properties, if they have a fixed rate of interest on the loans that they have, most of those are doing well. The ones that had the variable rates, those are all challenged right now. Those are pretty much flat at best. So, and there's probably about a third of those on there that have variable interest rates.
What's the problem with the variable interest rate?
Well, you bought the property and you started out at a 3% interest rate, and now it's 7. And so the amount of money that you're paying each month toward the property has pretty much doubled in what you're paying in interest on that. So if you were paying, let's say, $50,000 a month in interest on the property on the loan, you're now paying over $100,000. And so that has cut into the profitability of the property pretty heavy duty on some of those properties.
What do you plan to do with those particular properties?
Most of those were kind of hanging on.
Okay.
Some of them that have sold, but a lot of them were just hoping Actually, we're hoping for kind of a change in the administration where we can probably get the interest rates back from wild spending, which has caused the inflation to be outrageous. So that's where we're planning to go.
Gotcha. So, I mean, the key thing is the properties are operating. I mean, you're not losing money every month. You're operating these properties so that they're at least breaking even or have a positive cash flow. Is that a fair statement?
Pretty much that's accurate. There's some of them that aren't doing real well. They're actually kind of negative. So we're slowly going in the hole a little bit on some of the ones that are a little bit upside down. But for the most part, even those are pretty much doing well. Other than the interest rates killing the property to some extent. And then the other thing that's hurt a little bit of the properties lately has been the increase in the insurance rates. A lot of the properties that are located either along the Gulf. I also have some properties in Florida that the insurance rates have gone up fairly substantially also.
Yeah, when the world decides to crash on the United States of America and destroy the physical property that you and I own, it gets expensive, and the insurance companies are in business to make money, just like you and I are in business to make money. So when, you know, they're under assault because they're paying out more than they bring in, the only way they can resolve that is to raise the prices on us. I mean, it's just a function of business. But how are the rest of your properties doing? I mean, not all of your properties are having challenges, are they?
Oh, no. The ones that are doing well are the properties that, like I said, have the fixed rate. Those are doing well. We're still getting nice payouts on those, and we're still running a nice quarterly cash flow coming in each quarter on the bulk of the properties that we have. So we're quite happy with the performance of those properties.
So what I'm getting at, and this is what I want to solidify in my mind, are you still retired?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely retired. Okay.
No, we're pretty much done. We're pretty good. I'm not planning to go back to work or do anything else. So we are in good shape.
So you've got 22 assets that you're currently invested in. Are you looking to reinvest into different assets?
We will, as soon as we have some more cash and stuff like that, we will continue to invest. So if some of these sell or I get a windfall someplace, we'll go ahead and purchase some other properties too. That would be great.
So you're kind of real estate poor then. Well, I don't even know if that's the right way to describe it. You're actually real estate rich, but you're cash poor. Is that the best way to describe that?
A little bit. We have a bunch of other. We still have some money in some 401ks and some other investments and stuff like that too, but we have the bulk of our assets in real estate. As once again, we think that's the best way to go at this point in time in our life.
Now, you followed a strategy to liquidate that 401k, did you not?
Oh yeah, we ended up liquidating the 401ks over about 3 or 4 years. So we actually invested as we would liquidate some of it, invest it, wait till the next year, try to invest it. So we were trying to minimize the tax effect of getting out of the 401ks that we had. And so we didn't invest as quickly as we'd like, but we also then minimized as best we could the tax liability by doing that.
Because you had a lot of money in the 401k, so if you didn't effectively take that money out following the process that you followed, you would have just given a lot of that money back to Uncle Sam in the form of taxes, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You really do not want to go ahead and invest in the real estate like this in a 401k, and that's what Lifestyles teaches, and that's exactly true. All the benefit that you get with the depreciation and all that would all just be absolutely wasted if it was in the 401k, because as you're growing the 401k, that money, when you take it out later, is all taken out at the full ordinary tax income rate. And that's just outrageous to do that. So it's absolutely worth it to go ahead and cash out your 401k. Like I said, we did it slowly to minimize the tax effect, but do all of the real estate investings outside of the 401k would be my 2 cents.
Did you find a withdrawal formula from the 401k? In other words, did you find take out one third in this year, one third in the next year, or did you have a different formula?
It wasn't exactly that. It would just, we kind of look at the year, I'd go through and do some rough tax calculations and would figure it out. So, for example, when we joined in 2017, it was October. So I started looking back and I took money out of right away in 2017 so I could get started on with that cash. And then we did that in 18 and then in 19 again to go from there. So that was pretty much the strategy on minimizing that tax.
And who advised you on that strategy?
That's pretty much came right from Dell.
Dell Wamsley himself, huh?
Absolutely. We were at that initial training session that we went to that workshop, and he talked about the fact that there's no way you should invest in your 401k for the real estate because of all the advantages. And he just said that one day. He was walking off the stage and just sort of mentioned it. So that was important.
That's pretty cool. He said it, you heard it, and then it saved you thousands of dollars in tax liability.
Oh, probably much more than just thousands.
Like tens of thousands?
Hundreds of thousands.
Really?
Probably, yes.
Holy smokes. So, I mean, just that little tidbit of information translated into something that is a part of your retirement strategy that you followed, and you got a great result from it.
Yep. Well, just picture that year that we sold had those $750,000 in capital appreciation on the taxes. Just picture that as all ordinary income coming out of your 401k.
Yeah, that's scary because
for taxes on that'd be like $300,000 in tax.
Yeah, it's because, well, when you took the money out of your 401k, had you met the age requirement to where you didn't have to pay the 10% penalty?
Yes, I was in good shape. I'm around.
Okay, so you were okay there, but it was the taxation that would have plundered you.
That's correct.
Wow. So how did you get around it? What's the one thing that helped you get around not paying those taxes?
Oh, what happens is you have all these properties, and you've got most of the lead investors do is do what's called cost segregation on the properties. And so a normal building is depreciated over 27 and a half years, but there's a lot of stuff in the building that it really depreciates much quicker than that. For example, if you've got flooring of some sort, wall paint, there's the parking lots, a lot of the air conditioning units and stuff like that, are heating and air conditioning, are last 10 years. And so you shortened, by doing this cost segregation studies, you shorten down the depreciation greatly. And so you end up taking 50-60% of the depreciation right up front, and that all carries forward as you have these properties and buy more properties, you start over again and do that. Now, on the downside, when you go to sell, you have to recover all that, but luckily there was enough depreciation carried forward.
I will tell you, we have learned a lot from you. I want to thank you for being on today's show. And if you want to do what Ron's doing, you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to the Dell Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Dell's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Dell Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Dell Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Dell Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Dell Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Dell Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.